This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I'm your host for this first hour. Man, there was a lot to cover throughout this week as volatility really took hold, especially early on in the week for a number of markets, and we saw really a broad-based sell-off, some fear enter these markets at the start of the week and really for most of the week. However, at the tail end, a very interesting move to see U.S. markets recover fairly strongly. Still a down week, but they did recover fairly strongly, and the U.S. dollar, that continued to move higher. So there was a little bit of that lack of inverse correlation between the dollar and markets at the end of the week. But we will get into all of these moves, including the continued sell-off in the precious metals throughout this full first hour. I'm kicking off the show with Rick Bensignor. He writes supposedly irrelevant factors. That is an institutional newsletter read by some of the most successful hedge funds in the world. On the retail side, he writes in the No Trader and just started a new piece called 7-Eleven, where Rick selects no more than 7 of the 11 spider ETFs that he thinks will outperform. Rick, let's start off with U.S. equity markets because the markets were already in a downtrend. The S&P had been down 2, maybe 3 weeks in a row heading into this week. And to start the week, it gapped lower. There was just that general fear trade that didn't necessarily take everyone by surprise at the start of the week, but it was on the back of, not a whole lot of news events. It was really just traders saying, look, this has gone too far. Let's start taking some profits. Give me your thoughts on the S&P, in particular, the correction that took us to a low this week of 3209. It wasn't all that long ago that the S&P was up at closing in on 3600, so we've given up a fair bit here. Rick, give us your thoughts on how the S&P stands, please.
Hi, Corey. Thanks for having me. So, you know, the market just closed, and we do have a small up. With the gap, I guess we still have a lower week. I was looking relative to Monday's close, but no, when we look at versus last Friday's close, we still had a minor loss on the week. So the market has still been under general pressure, and I do think it's been profit taking, heading into elections. It makes sense. We had very strong August, and typically when we have, I think July was decent too, and when you have strong summer months, which doesn't happen that often, September tends to be a weaker month. And we are seeing, you know, sellers come in, and it makes sense. The market ran to new all-time highs after, just think about where we were 6 months ago and what had occurred in March and the huge decline. So the fact that we turned around and made new all-time highs, which I certainly didn't expect. You and I talk just about every month or so. We do this broadcast together, and at the time I said, I didn't think there was any shot that the market was going to make a new high in 2020. So we did make a new high. You certainly brought late to the game buyers in on that new high. 2 weeks worth of rallies into new high territory were evaporated in, 2 selling days. And then it's been down for basically all of September. And what I've been telling clients is that just about at 3,200, give or take, down to roughly 3,050, give or take, is the zone that you want to be a buyer in on a pullback, regardless of what made the pullback occur. So that if we had the opportunity to get long and really materially increase long exposure, that to me is the area that you'd want to be doing it. And so this week's low, Thursday's low, was I think it was 3208 or so. So, you know, we kind of got towards that top end of the zone with a strong bounce today, Friday, of 52 points or so. And, you know, I think between now and elections, it's unlikely we make a new high. If we do, it's a minimal new high. That's probably meant to be sold. So to me, anything north of 35.55, I'd be a seller into. But, you know, that's at that point, at this point, that's still 250 points away to I don't know, 280 points away. It's still a long ways up. And I suspect we'll still see some distribution take place going into the elections. It makes sense. If you're a portfolio manager and there's a decent chance you were trailing this year because of the decline in any type of selling that you did back in when the market was coming off, if you hesitated at all to get back in, then you're probably trailing what the S&P is doing on the year. And it's not up much at all, but I would say the average PM is probably behind the ball and down versus the market, as they typically are. You know, if you get the opportunity between now and elections to get back in into that zone, I think it's okay. And look, there's still talk on the street that a Biden victory would knock off, you know, 10% from the S&P. Is it possible that any of the selling that we've seen in September has that built into the seller's thinking? I would think so, because look, he's still ahead of the polls. I don't give the Democrats. We've seen them too many times blow elections in the past. So even though Biden's ahead in the polling, I can't be sure as a strategist that they're going to pull this victory out anyway, just because of, you know, it's like watching the New York Giants play a football game with 20 seconds to go that they're winning and somehow they manage to lose it. I've seen it happen so many times over the years that, you know, it's kind of like I put the Democrats in the same category as even when it looks like victory is assured, somehow they don't always pull it off. So I think that when you're a portfolio manager, and you have a fiduciary responsibility and you've got some profitable longs and the market's still not, you know, in percentage terms, is not that far off of all-time highs. I don't know, you know, you shouldn't get too strongly questioned if you take some profits somewhere between here and, you know, what are the current highs. And barring everything falling apart, then this 3200 to 2950 or 3050 zone is kind of, you know, that's about 150 point range that I think, just based on a whole bunch of indicators I'd look at, probably serve you pretty well to do, as an individual investor, to do some material buying for the bigger, longer term, you know, bull market. And knowing that the Fed kind of has your back, I think it's just a matter of knowing where and when to kind of add your exposure. And I'm not saying that if we got into that zone, it absolutely positively would curtail the decline so that you wouldn't have any downside or draw down to it. But I think, you know, that's where I plan on, even in my own account, putting on more exposure, cash I've raised, and thinking that that's, you know, a pretty good place. In the big picture, it's tough to fight the Fed. We know that. But it kind of gives you, as an investor, that what we call the protection of a Fed put.
All right. Interesting comments, Rick. Unfortunately, we're out of time for this first segment. In the next segment, we're going to switch a little bit of focus more into currencies and commodities. Everyone stick around. Rick Bensinger and I are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Your week
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to chat with Rick Bensignor. Now, Rick, let's switch our focus a little bit more to the currencies, U.S. dollar, because the U.S. dollar was key to, I think, a lot of other markets, especially commodity sectors, supporting runs higher. But the dollar really just went through almost a crash there for a couple months, and now this week started to bounce back. Most recently put in a low of 91.75 on the dollar index, closing the week in the mid-94s in the dollar index. So a bit of a bounce back, but still at levels that we saw just in July, considering where the dollar was back in April and May, over 100 on the dollar index. Is there still that much room to run higher for the dollar?
There is room to run higher simply because the market had gotten so leaning bearishly on the dollar. And I myself was bearish the dollar. We called the breakdown. We also called the bottom at 91 and change. In fact, months ago when it was trading at 99, I said the breakdown would take us to 93 to 91 and a half. And then when we got there, not only did the uptrend line from, I think it was the 2011 low, come in, so like the major uptrend line came in and caught the low of the move, but also from the timing models we look at, we had downside exhaustion indicated. So we've been playing for a bounce. At this point, in general terms, 95, 96-ish, you know, is general support. If I was somebody, again, a portfolio manager who might have missed this down move and caught long higher, I'd say anything, if you got to 97.5, you'd be very pleased to be able to get back that far, and that's where you'd be laying out dollars in a big way. So I'm not going to fight this bounce just yet. It was a predicted bounce. From a kind of, I don't want to say obvious level, but for the way we look at the markets, you know, we've been telling clients now for the month of September, to have covered shorts and play for a bounce here. And it's just a matter of how aggressive you want to be on the downside. You know, back in March, I think it was the dollar got to about 102 on its rally. And then just as, you know, the stock market sold off, the dollar peaked and it's unwound every bit of it. And even part of, you know, look, interest rates are low everywhere. But the dollar, you know, sold off over 5%, which for the major currency of the world to have done, you know, it's a dramatic move in 2020. So from 102 down to 91 and change, it's essentially 10% move. It got overdone, and I think, you know, the rubber band stretched too much in one direction. It'll correct itself, but I think the dollar is somewhat damaged on a longer term basis, and I will be looking to sell the dollar in the future. I'll just let it kind of come to me and wait somewhat for a further bounce.
So are you carrying over your predictions for the dollar into some of the commodities? Obviously in the inverse side, but gold was moving higher. Even oil was well supported as this dollar has been moving down.
Yeah. So the commodity markets are certainly collectively in a pause mode right now. And we can talk about oil in a second and the fact that it's still at $40. But think about where oil was just a few months back, especially even if you take out of the equation the fact that oil futures went negative for a few hours. And that's just a factor of, you know, going on at the time. So if you look at oil kind of really bottoming, if you look at maybe second month oil or what was considered the active contract at the time, oil probably got down to, I don't know, $5, $6, $7, give or take, somewhere in there, if I recall, and then got as high as 43 and change. So, you know, you had almost a $40 bounce in oil as the dollar was declining, and you'd expect that as the dollar was weak, oil would be a gainer the same way gold was. Not that there's been demand for oil, any, you know, look, people aren't I drive a fraction in a month of what I used to drive. And people who drive to work who aren't driving to work, I mean, just oil demand is well down. And the fact that oil's at $40 is a surprise itself. But let's talk about, like, the dollar and the effect on gold. Gold ended up making a new all-time high. 1924 had been the all-time high for an active front-month futures contract, going back to 2011. And, you know, we surpassed that, and now finally we're seeing gold pull back. And the thing that I have to wrestle with myself and the positions I have on in gold and gold-related equities are that the long-term fundamentals still favor gold. But almost everything I've looked at from timing perspective says that gold has peaked. And even though it could even turn around and make a new all-time high, the risk in first buying gold, you know, anything north of 1950, is rather high. So I think gold probably has its high in place for a while. And I do not expect gold to make a new high by before elections and possibly year end. I've kind of got this battle going on in my head between long-term fundamentals and shorter-term market exhaustion, which means, you know, it could be months and months before, if not even longer, before we see gold turn around and make a new high. So part of me says got to take some off the table and just lock in the profits I have because they're still good profits. Versus am I looking to buy the dip, and where is that place that has the least downside to buy? And, you know, I can easily come up with different technical support levels. The question is, which is the one that's actually going to hold? And until I get enough timing signals to match the levels of where gold is as far as support, I want to kind of see both. I don't want to just play for a bounce at a support level. I want to see other factors come in, including timing, that would suggest that it's that gold is due for a bounce from a time perspective, from an open interest perspective, as far as where the speculators lie in how many contracts they're long versus what they're short, etc. There's several factors that would determine for me the next time that I'm going to come in and bid for gold. I mean, for me, the last time it was 1550, and I caught the low of the move months ago. It was earlier this year that we just touched down there, and that's where I bought some GLD, and I still have the bulk of it, and I'm literally wrestling myself with what to do.
Hey, Rick, it's great having you on the show. Thanks for taking some time on these extended segments. Rick, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks for having me.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
U.S. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Multiple reports say President Trump will nominate Amy Coney Barrett to fill the vacancy on the Supreme Court made available with last week's death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Barrett is currently a judge on the U.S. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals out of Chicago. The overall vacancy has added heat to an already hot political battle, and a Washington Post ABC poll show a majority of Americans oppose efforts by the president and the Republican-led Senate to fill the vacancy before the election. Republicans plan to move as quickly as possible to fill that seat, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell already making moves in that direction. Justice Ginsburg broke one last barrier Friday, becoming the first woman to lie in state at the Capitol. She was the second female justice of the High Court. Ginsburg will be buried in a private ceremony next week at Arlington National Cemetery next to her husband Marty. This is USA Radio News. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has lifted all coronavirus restrictions on bars and restaurants effective immediately. That means they can open at full capacity in Florida, and counties are virtually powerless if they want to impose local restrictions.
If a local restricts between 50 and 100, they've got to provide the justification, and they've got to identify what the costs involved with doing that are.
Until yesterday, local governments could go further in their restrictions compared to the state. DeSantis says the state is prepared if there is a surge in COVID-19 cases. A dad in the Bronx is being hailed as a hero as he shielded his three small children from gunfire at a local car dealership. 39-year-old Anthony Jefferson was looking to surprise the mother of his kids with a new whip for her upcoming birthday. According to a GoFundMe page, he lost his job due to injuries from that incident. That fundraiser has raised well over $100,000 as of Friday afternoon. And you are listening to USA Radio News.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report in this segment, and really for the rest of the show, the second half of this first hour, we are going to exclusively focus on precious metals, more specifically on more of the exploration plays and some of the strategies around investing right now. I'm chatting with Steve Todorok. He is a geologist and an investment advisor over at Sprott Global. Now, I had Steve on a few weeks ago for a daily editorial. The response, as I was hoping for and also predicting, was very positive. Hearing what Steve had to say about what he looks for in more discovery plays, so companies that are on the verge or have just made a discovery, and how he trades into these and how he likes to see the story progress. That being said, Steve, in this segment, I want to focus a bit more in Australia and some of the discovery stories that are underway there. There seems to be a bit more of a focus on not just Australian exploration companies, also in Australian companies that are mining because of the profitability that those companies are garnering. But first and foremost, when it comes to exploration happening in Australia, what has been catching your eye?
I guess I think I'll start out with the Australian gold miners, because that's where I really started paying a little closer attention to Australia. By the way, my sister lives in Australia. She's been down there over 30 years. I go down to visit her every 2 or 3 years, so I kind of call that home. So it's not like it's a foreign country to me. But back in the bear market in the middle of 2015, was somewhere right around there where oil prices plummeted from $100 a barrel down to a low of about 27, and we all know where it is today. But from a drop in oil price, the Australian dollar, you know, dropped dramatically against the U.S. dollar, falling from somewhere around par down to a low of about 60 cents. And that was a godsend for the Australian gold mining companies. There was just coincidentally, again, around that time, two of the Australian gold miners bought a couple of gold mines from, I believe it was Barrick and Gold Fields. Maybe Newmont was in there as well. When the big gold, North American miners were trying to dispose of non-core assets, i.e. smaller or not as profitable mines, to pay down their debt and, you know, right the ship sort of thing. And the lucky recipients were a couple of Australian companies that were quite new, and they quickly evolved into the new mid-tier gold miners out there. And so with all that happening at the same time, as these new companies were starting to mine gold, with the weak Australian dollar, they paid all their cost to produce each ounce of gold in Australian dollars. And then they got to sell each ounce of gold in U.S. dollars. That was the instant extra 30 to 40% profit. And that's huge. You can't do that in any business almost type of thing. And so they were paying down their debt quickly, generating strong free cash flow. And the Australian investors picked up on that, and they started buying these gold mining companies. And as this kept going on, even though the rest of the world was in a bear market in the gold space, the Australian gold miners were knocking it out of the park, and the share prices were going up. And that's basically when I identified that opportunity, and I recommended my clients sell all their North American gold miners and let's buy the Australian miners. And that's been, you know, quite a nice sort of home run over the last 5-6 years here. But I sort of delve into that a little deeper. As those investors that were making money on their gold miners, they're gaining more confidence watching their stocks going up. They started to move down the ladder and finance the Australian juniors. This is going back to 2015, 2016. So the Australian juniors were going out, starting to spend that money exploring, doing geophysics, soil sampling, rotary drilling, air blast drilling, the different surveys and techniques that they do down there to start identifying anomalies. And then once they dress up the anomalies, and that can take, you know, a couple of years type of thing, they start bringing in the drills and start drilling the anomalies. And we've had a flurry of new discoveries, mostly in Western Australia. It's not even like all of Australia. It's out in Western Australia for some reason. And part of why they're focusing out there, there's a lot of gold in Western Australia. It's a fairly unexplored area because it's quite remote, and there's a layer of cover that masks or hide everything, so it makes exploration more difficult. Most effective way is geophysics type of thing. So the Australian juniors, I believe, are 2 to 4 years ahead of, say, the Canadian juniors that have just in the last 5 months been raising lots of money. So I'd expect in 2, 3, 4 years, you know, where the Canadian juniors are exploring, we'll start to get some new discoveries happening where they're working type of thing. But, you know, for myself and my clients, we've been involved in, I think right now we're in 3 very nice discoveries that have been, you know, fabulous type of thing. We've also seen Rio Tinto has gone out in the same area. They've discovered what's called their Wainu copper gold discovery. That's right in the area. BHP has their big Olympic Dam mine down there. It's a world-class asset. They've announced a new Olympic Dam type of deposit discovery, not far from where their mine is type of thing. So it's quite refreshing to see, you know, this number of new discoveries in a pretty small area.
It is. Been very impressive. Even before gold started breaking out about a year, year and a half ago, those Australian companies were doing so well because of all the factors that you mentioned. They had a lot going their way. But now that we are seeing more and more money get spent there, and I think the importance that U.S. investors or North American investors are looking more favorably at some of these Australian companies because of the discoveries and because of the share price moves, they do seem to be ignoring one of the bigger issues that retail investors had with Australian companies, and that was higher share counts. Do you think this really even matters, these higher share counts that these companies have when they are making discoveries?
Not at all. in the market, it all comes down to the market cap of the company. The market cap reflects the asset. If you don't have an asset, your market cap is low. If you've got a valuable asset, you know, you're going to get valued accordingly. So, if you've gone out and discovered a brand new 1 million or 5 million ounce gold deposit, you know, the market's doing its own thing, always revaluing, the value of that deposit. And that's reflected in the market cap. That therefore gets reflected in the share price. So, you know, I'm in one junior in Australia that's got 3.5 billion shares outstanding, you know, versus in Canada, you know, good junior, if they've got 100 million shares out, that's deemed to be, you know, all right type of things. But it truly just comes down to the market asset. For an investor, it's actually quite nice that with these Australian juniors, they've got so many shares out because the liquidity is fantastic. I have no problem buying a lot of shares, you know, in a company that's got 3.5 billion shares outstanding.
That is true. Lots of liquidity in these shares. And really, with their ability to raise money, even with high share counts, they can just keep on going out and continuing to explore. Now, just as a final comment here, due to compliance issues, Steve and I are not able to talk about individual companies, especially those that Steve has recommended to his clients, but he has offered to take a look at any of your portfolios or any of the stocks within your portfolio and give you some of the insights on a personal basis as what he does for his clients too. So two ways to get in touch with Steve, one being that you can just email me, fleck@kereport.com. Steve, how can our listeners get in touch with you and take advantage of this very generous offer?
They could email me at spodrick@sprottglobal.com. It's my first initial last name.
And I will post that email address within that weekend show posting as well. So, hey, Steve, great chatting with you. It's always interesting hearing what's catching your eyes. I really appreciate our conversations off mic when we do chat about a couple more companies. So, hey, guys, I recommend you taking Steve up on this offer and seeing what he thinks of some of your maybe more exciting stories or even the ones that you think are maybe some dogs in your portfolio. I'm sure you guys will agree on many of those comments. Steve, thanks for your time on this weekend show. I look forward to chatting with you in another couple weeks.
Okay, thanks for having me, Corey.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow, I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go. Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are getting a company update from TriStar Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol TSG, and on the OTCQX under the symbol TSGZF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Nick Appleyard. Now, Nick, I wanted to bring you on this weekend show because the company is starting this drill program at the Castelo de Sonhos project in Brazil. The initial program is about 12,000 meters, but the way I understand it is that this is really just an initial program because sounds like you guys will be just continuing to drill and really following up on whatever the drills yield in this first pass. Can you give us just a general get up to speed here when it comes to what the company is testing out in this initial program, please?
Yeah, absolutely, Corey, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, this is a super exciting time for us now. You know, the rigs are at site now. They're due to start drilling on Monday. And as you said there, this is an initial program, and we are testing multiple targets. It's the first pass test of multiple brand-new targets for us. And these targets range from extension of known mineralization of shallow conglomerate-hosted gold to, at the other end of the extreme, we're going to be testing some deep targets looking for completely new ore bodies, which would be a game-changer for the project if it came in, and everything in between. We've probably got something like 10 independent targets currently, and the drillers will be moving around pretty rapidly over this next 2 or 3 months before Christmas in this program.
So one thing to note here, just to bring everybody up to speed, is that the company already has a little over a 2 million ounce resource and also a PEA where just over 1 million ounces are included in that PEA. So this drill program really is all about exploration and trying to find some new targets, hit some, who knows, mineralization and follow up, really to build ounces, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We stopped when we hit that two number on the total resource and thought, okay, it's time to start de-risking and moving it through, you know, EPA feasibility, pre-feasibility. But now we want to go back and go, okay, that we stopped just through practical measures in 2018, the drilling out and exploring. There's a lot more to do. So now we want to get back to that, and we're going to get back to it aggressively because we still think there's a lot more to do. We still think this project is really young in its life cycle, and there's a lot more value to expose here.
So can you give us some insights on how some of these targets were generated? Because I know those that have followed this story know that you are working with Goldspot that uses a lot of the historic data, runs it through their AI programs to generate some targets that maybe your geos hadn't picked out. But what's the balance here between targets generated internally by some of your geos and then those targets that are generated with your work with Goldspot?
Okay, yeah, so working with the AI, it's interesting. I think it's, I know by myself, before I worked with it now, it was probably poorly understood, and I'm assuming that out in the broader world it is as well. You know, the computer's going to look and it's going to come up with the most obvious targets first. But they're the same targets our geologists have got anyway. So a lot of these targets we've got now are geologist-generated targets. With the work with the artificial intelligence, we've all sort of said, okay, the artificial intelligence will generate 10 targets. Geologists will look at those 10 and go, well, these two, there's an incorrect assumption, so we can discard them. These six are, you know, are known to us. We've already got them on our maps. These two are interesting. And that's really what you're paying for, is that little bit where the computer can read through multiple layers of data and identify something that's just too subtle, maybe, or for the geologist using our modern, you know, computers and stuff to be able to see on their own. So these targets we've got now, I would say that, you know, out of the sort of 10 targets that I'm thinking of where we're hitting first, I think probably 6 or 7 of them are just pure geologists, our mapping, our targeting, we know where they were. The AI would have generated those same targets as well, but they're so obvious that it didn't need it. And then out of the other three, I would say it's a good combination, because sometimes if the data we give to the AI computer algorithms is a little bit crude, say it's a little bit coarse in its detail, it'll come up with a target, then the geologists go on site and they refine that target down and adjust it to based on real-world measurements and stuff on surface rather than computer-generated something using satellite imagery or so. So I would say out of the 10 we've got, 7 are purely geologist done, and 3 would be a combination of the AI and geology. But, you know, I'm a huge fan of this artificial intelligence. I think we're all going to be using it much, much more in the future. And it doesn't, but this shows me that it does not in any way replace geologists. It's just another tool for a geologist to use. And your geologist is still a critical component in these drill programs and the exploring.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. And you know what, this AI, it is starting to get used by both some of the largest companies in the sector and some of the smaller explorers. So you guys are fitting nicely in there and using that combined with also what the geologists are finding from being at site. Nick, how are these targets, these 10 initial targets, how are they going to be attacked? How deep are the drill holes going to be? What are the spacings going to be? What's the strategy?
Okay, absolutely. We will have 3 drill rigs in total between now and Christmas, 2 RC rigs and 1 core rig. In general, the RC at site would, as a normal sort of plan, would be drill 120-meter vertical holes. They can go down to about 140. That's about the maximum we would take an RC hole on site due to the water. So they're going to be down. There'll be patterns of 6 or 10 holes 100 meters apart will be the RC approach. Core drilling, current plans have the deepest probably core holes less than 400 meters. We've identified, you know, using the AI and the geological mapping, what we call CDS deep, the deep target, we initially thought we would have to chase it down about 800 meters. We're identifying spots where we can refine our planning and get more information on this target, you know, as shallow as 250 meters. So, you know, 350-meter holes with the core rig. And they'll probably be the same thing, 100-meter spacing, 3 holes on a three or 4 holes in each target.
Now, Nick, can you also just give us a little recap of the resource, some of the grades that go into that resource, so I think our listeners can then compare what the drill results yield to some of the grades that you already know are available in the deposit?
Absolutely. Our indicated resource grade, the 700,000 ounces in indicated category, is 1.2 grams a ton, and our inferred grade, and there's 1.3 million ounces of inferred, is 1 gram a ton. But what we sort of target, though, is the PEA, which once you optimized pits and you discarded the low-grade material using that low gold price we used in the past, we ended up with a grade of about 1.4 out of the PEA pits. So, as gold prices go up, we're looking for a grade of conglomerate-hosted shallow open-pit gold in the range of 1.2 grams a ton is the target, what we would expect to see.
All right. You even mentioned the PEA, and the PEA done in late 2018 used a gold price U.S. dollar terms of $1,250. So gold's much higher right now. That PEA still yielded a 43% post-tax IRR with only about $148 million initial capex. The company is still moving through a pre-feasibility study, though. Can you give us an update on this, the timing of this, and how it's progressing?
Yeah, absolutely. So the PFS should be complete in hopefully April next year now. And this is where personally, I really like the setup we have now. We have the PFS getting close to completion. We'll have new resources coming out of that. We'll have new engineering studies. We'll have the permitting studies. Yeah, real stuff advancing this towards mining and shortening that timeline all the time to mining. But on top of that, you've got exploration activity and exploration excitement. So you've sort of got the best of both worlds. You've got a safe base and an exploration upside. But, yeah, the PFS is scheduled for April next year. Yeah, and we still haven't set the gold price, but it'll be much higher than $1,250.
Well, Nick, I appreciate the update. This is going to be an exciting time for the company. So if anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get Nick to answer those questions. In the meantime, we'll wait to see some of the initial drill results, and I will for sure follow up with you then. Nick, I appreciate your time wrapping up the weekend show. Everybody else, I appreciate you taking some time out of your weekend and listening to all of the segments that I put together for this first hour. Also, please go back on our website and listen to all the company introductions and updates I've recorded throughout the week. There's a lot of news that's happening in this sector, even during the correction that we saw this week. So very important, I think, even more so now to stay up to date on the companies that you're watching and that are in your portfolios. Nick, everybody else, thank you again for joining me on this weekend show. Have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.